Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
It's here.
It has begun.
I love that we all dance a little bit when the music's going.
It's like an earworm.
A little dance party before the show starts.
It's a bop.
It gets you going. It's a banger, as
Thanks,
the kids
guys.
Would say. And that, and those of you who don't know, Andy wrote that. That intro is the Andy's sweet fingers plucking at those strings of his very own guitar.
Tell me more about Andy's sweet fingers.
Oh, bro. This one's a little crooked, but the rest of them are pretty good.
I signed an NDA. An NDA.
An NDA. Nice. There you go.
My pun machine is back online.
This episode is already on the train. And we're going, everybody. Strap in. It's already happening.
If you've never listened to the show before, it is an hour and a half-ish of that. Should be called
Andy Puns. Yeah. Notice operandi.
There you go. That's his favorite.
Is that your
Andy
new Twitter pun. Handle?
Dude, it was at one time, I believe.
That's going to be my rap name someday.
Oh.
You know, Donald branched out, became Childish Gambino.
Andy's sweet fingers are going to drop some sweet beats.
Mm-hmm. Those sweet fingers are going to be on the ones and twos.
I've been writing a lot of music lately. And so if I drop an album, I might have to do it under that moniker.
There you go.
Modus operandi.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first on Streaming Things. If you see that pop up in your feed later on, you already know what time it is. It's bop time.
It's bop time. It's about bop time.
So we're so excited for this episode. We've been talking a lot. We've been hanging out all day trying to discuss the future of the show, what we want out of it, and how we can make it even better. And we just want to say right off the top, thank you so much. There's been so many of you that have ridden the waves with us from our early beginnings in 2017 or so?
Yeah, 2017.
When we started, you know, with Stranger Things, of course. And we're so excited for season 4, but we're, I think, even more excited just to see where this show goes and to sail ahead.
Full steam ahead, baby.
Full steam. Yeah. An old kind of boat that uses coal power.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do here at the show.
You take the coal, you get a shovel, you throw it in just like a furnace, and then somehow the boat goes.
Yeah. I don't know how. I don't know how. Nobody did.
I've seen Titanic.
Exactly. We're going to be those guys. That's what we're doing.
You guys listen to a podcast and you're like, wow, those three dudes, they really make it happen. Really, there's a whole deck of about 30 so guys in the basement shoveling coal into giant furnaces that make these microphones work.
Very attractive.
We don't pay them.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio attractive.
They've got soot all over their face.
But they have talents. They draw down there. They play cards.
Yeah. Phineas, he has a really nice porcelain doll collection.
He does.
That's what he does.
He does.
Old Phineas.
You know, that
came with the house.
That part of the ship is called the steerage. I don't know if you knew that.
I steerage. Did not.
It's not where you steer the boat. The
captain's table's up top, steerage down below, and then, you know, Reggie's in between.
I just called it the homies quarters because I'm a homies.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, when you pour one out, it is so it gets down to them. Which makes sense now. Anyway, very excited. So we made a big change to the way that we do biz here on Streaming Things. We used to be hosted by an ancient host of podcasts. Some might say a relic of the past. Not knocking anybody that uses that platform. It's just what it felt like to me.
And it's also more for a different genre of 100% audio listening.
That was part of the, you know, they had podcast capabilities, but it wasn't crafted for that purpose. And you could tell. So we switched. We are now hosted by Buzzsprout. So we've got better analytics. We can do certain things with marketing that we weren't able to do before, like share video clips of our sound, which doesn't make any sense to me out loud, but you know what I'm saying.
It's a little preview of the podcast. It's got the waveform and it looks cool. You can share it with people.
And it's neat. We've always wanted to do that, but the one we were using before, and I'm not mentioning their name because I don't want to knock them, is the whole point. They served us well for a few years now. So we moved to Buzzsprout. And we're very excited for the future of that. And actually, just throwing this in here, you can move to Buzzsprout too if you want to start a podcast, or perhaps you already have one and you're kind of struggling with your own, you know, analytics and wondering how the interface could be better. Trust us that it is much better. So we have a link in our show notes and you can click on that and that'll take you to sign up for Buzzsprout. And if you do that, Buzzsprout will know that we sent you. And so they will thank us for that. And you will get a $20 Amazon gift card for clicking that link and signing up for Buzzsprout. So do yourself a favor. We have found the change to be highly beneficial.
Yes.
We think you will too.
And if you're sitting there thinking, guys, I've always wanted to make a podcast, but it's, you know, I'm intimidated by everything you have to do. It's very easy to do on the website. They literally have, you know, have a question about podcasts and they literally have a really easy step-by-step guide on how to achieve those things. It's podcasts for idiots, and that's why we're there, and it's perfect for us.
So simple that Andy is the one that did it.
Thanks, Dick. No, it actually was super simple. We were talking about switching over to a different provider, and while we were talking about doing it, I did it. And Chris started sending messages. We started getting email notifications, and we all share the same Streaming Things email. So if you email us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com, we all see it. Mm. So we started getting email notifications about, like, thanks for creating your Buzzsprout account. And then Chris eventually texts the group thread like, Andy, what the fuck are you doing? And I was just like, I'm making it happen, bro. And I was done transferring providers within probably 5 minutes.
Andy, what have you done? It's like he was resurrecting some ancient Egyptian evil and I could sense it in the air.
What have you done?
But it turned out to not be the case. So we're, you know, affiliates of Buzzsprout a little bit now, and I don't want to have it on record that I called them an ancient Egyptian evil, right? Yeah. That was not the case. It's just what I thought they were. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
Hemotep.
This is a transitional period, so if you guys notice anything amiss, just reach out to us and let us know.
Yes.
If something's not working quite as well as you're used to, just because I'm sure, you know, when you change that stuff, there's, you know, you leave yourself open to have, you know, some minor issues.
There's often a glitch in the matrix, if you will.
But if there is, please let us know and we can take care of that for you.
So if you see the same cat walk by the doorway, or at least appears to be,
it's a bloody glitch.
That could be a glitch in the matrix, or it could be a second cat. Just it's worth making sure. So yeah, we're a little concerned that we might have somebody who's previously been subscribed is now no longer subscribed. So if you're listening to this, ironically, obviously there's no issue. I don't know who I'm trying to reach here.
If you're not listening to this,
sorry, you missed a good one.
Yep.
So yeah, we're excited for that. We've also been talking about a lot of stuff, and I know we don't want to get too into the weeds on promises for the future. And so I'll say right off the top,
that's never bit us in the past.
Right. We honestly don't know what the future is going to look like, other than that every Monday at 3:16 a.m.
Hell yeah,
we're definitely going to be in your ear holes. But we've got a YouTube channel we're trying to get rocking. And what we're going to do at the very beginning is just post our audio files from this show over there so we can reach more people. But hopefully in the future, we would like to start a video version of this show. And if you have any thoughts on that, you can always send us feedback at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. But that's kind of what the future that we want it to look like. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really fun. So, and then we could have live shows and communicate with you folks. And I know you're all in different time zones, and I'm not sure how that would work, but I think it could be a barrel of fun, and we're excited to bring that to you.
Yeah, so, but that'll be in the future. We're working our way up to it.
Yeah. Right
now, we're not ready to announce anything yet.
What we've got going is the bare minimum of streaming things, is what I'm saying. This is the as low as it's ever going to get, I hope, barring some kind of personal tragedy or something like that, right?
Right.
Shit happens. There's a shit happens clause in our streaming things contract.
You have a contract? NDA?
Awkward.
The NDA.
Buzzsprout, we need some lawyers to be said.
I told you guys, LLC, God damn it.
They're on hand. So we got a good episode for you here today. We're going to be talking about Godzilla versus Kong, which was a movie. And that's all I have to say about that. It's available on HBO Max. Hopefully y'all tuned into it. Most of the world seemed to have tuned in. It was going semi-viral, the GVK talk on the Twitter. Yeah. What else do we need to talk about? There's some other big thing here. Oh, two things. One, we're still going to do the mailbag episode coming up soon. So we need more of your feedback and questions sent into streamingthingspod@gmo.com. We've already got
a
buttload of good ones.
We got a bunch this week. So
we just want to make darn sure that we have plenty of content to sift through for you folks.
We've even had a couple people email like, hey, I can't think of a question.
But I love you.
Hey, we love you too.
But I appreciate that. Almost more than anything, just to know that I am loved and appreciated. You guys have no idea what that means to us. We've also got the second thing, a little contest coming up.
Ooh, a contest. Yeah.
So you have until...
I'm interested.
I'm sorry.
You're not allowed to enter the contest, Andy.
Damn it.
You're barred. So you have until April 16th. And so what, Steve, why don't you drop it on? I've been talking for too long. This is Steve May 13, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Steve May 13. It's your boy. Holla back. we're doing a contest. It's a little bit different than the contest we've done in the past. In the past, we've asked you guys for reviews. We've asked you guys just for emails in general. We were very, very happy with those campaigns. They all worked out for us. So thank you guys for helping those initiatives be, you know, a success. Now we're trying to grow the show, make it even bigger, get an even bigger audience. And we want your guys' help.
We want to be growers, not showers, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Well, eventually we'll be showers when we get the YouTube, but for now we're growers and we need your guys' help. Help us grow, guys. We need your help. This has gotten oddly sexual. So what we're doing is we're having a contest and of getting our name out, and you're going to help us. So what we need you guys to do, as we mentioned before, with Buzzsprout, we can now release little audio clips or teasers of the show. It'll just be a little video of a soundbite from this very episode. Probably something funny that we'll say. I don't know. Could be dumb. What we need you to do, we are going to be posting that link on all three of our Twitters. So Chris, your Twitter handle is
C. Michael Writes.
Andy
Most Days.
And I'm Steve May 13. Follow one of the three of us and you will see in our timeline us tweeting about this link. What we need you to do is either retweet that link on your Twitter. If you don't have Twitter, you can share that link on your Facebook or what have
MySpace
you.
MySpace even.
Zanga. Any Zanga users out there still? Raise nobody? Okay.
Tumblr.
You can even get a billboard. We'll accept that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Whatever you use on social media, just share that link with the hashtag streaming things. So hashtag streaming things and the link on your social media platform of choosing. Take a screen grab of that and email us. All right.
So there's layers to that.
There are several steps. So again, share the link we provide on either of our Twitter handles. When you share it, use the hashtag streaming things and send us a photo proving that you did thus. And doing so enters you to win what, Chris?
$50 Amazon gift card.
Super planned it.
Yeah, we did not discuss the prize.
It is a $50 Amazon gift card.
It is now.
Yeah. So congrats, you guys.
I win.
And who will be buying that gift card, Chris?
I will. Sure. That's fair.
So if you want to win a $50 Amazon gift card on Chris's dime, follow the steps I gave you. Go to our Twitter handle, retweet or share that post with the hashtag streaming things. Send us in a photo proving that you did thus, and you could possibly get that gift.
And you might be thinking, I see what they're doing. I see through this and I don't appreciate it. You probably not think of that, but you probably get it. Oh, I get it. I'm going to have to follow them on Twitter and then I'm going to have to create a hashtag with their show name in it and show all my friends that I listen to this show. And they're basically going to maybe pay me $50 for this, right? That's exactly why we're doing it. We're not hiding that at all. We want more people to join us, join the family that you're already in. And And I would think you'd want your family to grow. The growers need to grow. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that hashtag growers need to grow, hashtag streaming things.
You don't have to put that grocery to the grow one.
Please.
Anyway. Help us grow so that we may show.
Enough marketing. But it's important to us. We got some big plans and you guys are going to be very excited, I think. So moving on, I guess.
And how long do they have to do this?
That's right. We have until April 16th. So as you're hearing this, I believe should be around.
So you're going to, so this episode drops on the 5th. So you have a week and 4 days to get this done. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So April 16th, 2021 is the day you have to send in that photo to streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
So future we'll listener
announcing the episode on the 19th or the winner on the 19th, correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then future listeners. So there's going to be a future listener going through the backlog. You're done. You don't get it.
No.
You can still use hashtag streaming things or hashtag growing the growers. What was it again?
Growers got to grow.
Something like that. You still do that, but there's no money in it.
So yes, follow us on Twitter. Share our posts with the hashtag streaming things. Take a photo of it. Email it to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Send that to us before April 16th, and we will announce the winner on April 19th, 2021.
It's sort of like a Willy Wonka. You're just looking for the golden ticket.
Yeah. Right? And you're probably living at home where all your grandparents share the same bed, you know, like normal people.
I got a golden ticket.
You know, just imagine you get the golden ticket that is Chris's $50 Amazon gift card. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden your grandpa is so excited. He actually gets out of the bed that he's been stuck in for who knows how long and starts dancing. That will save your grandfather's life. That could be you. You could do that for him.
So don't slack.
Do it for grandpa.
Don't slack. All right. That brings us to Crossing Streams, the segment where we talk about the things that we've recently been streaming. Andy, have you been streaming anything?
Nope.
To talk about on streaming things?
Just kidding. Yes, of course I've been streaming stuff.
Of course I have. What do you think? I'm some kind of monster.
So I finally dove into a TV show that's been recommended to me by a whole bunch of people, and I just continually ignored it. It is Hannibal.
Hannibal is good.
With Mads Mikkelsen playing the lead role of Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Good show. Good show. Yeah.
It is fantastic. I am very disappointed in myself for not having watched it sooner. It is so up my alley. It's kind of creepy. Like the some of the cinematography that is done in that show is wonderfully executed. Just very cool visual representations of the mental leaps that our lead character, Will Graham, goes through. Now, if anybody's ever read the Hannibal books, beginning with Red Dragon, then Silence of the Lambs, and then Hannibal.
Red Dragon.
So in Red Dragon, the lead character, the protagonist is Will Graham. He is a FBI detective who is brought in on a case to help try to solve a serial killer case. They take that conceit in the show and they kind of do their own spin on it. And they make Will Graham out to be this kind of reclusive, failed detective who, due to emotional and mental issues, was unable to pass like FBI field agent examinations. And so has instead relegated himself to a career educating others. He is brought in to assist Lawrence Fishburne, whose character's name is escaping me, in
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
It's just Lawrence Fishburne.
He's always just Lawrence Fishburne.
Playing Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. He sometimes Hugh Grant's like, I know who the killer is, and Lawrence Fishburne leans in intensely, goes, show me. And then puts on kick-ass aviators.
Mm-hmm. With no rims.
Hugh Grant is in the show? I was unaware. Hugh Darcy, I think his name is.
Yeah, Hugh Grant also makes an appearance. You got to keep watching.
Anyway, it's a procedural drama, semi-psychological horror mystery show, and it is wonderful. The writing is absolute top-notch. The direction is fantastic. And the acting, Mads Mikkelsen kills it.
So good. Lecter. So good. I watched like the first season, and that's a Brian Fuller show.
It is the dude that did Pushing Daisies, mm-hmm, and Dead Like Me.
He's
and,
amazing.
He recently did American Gods.
Yep. Brian Fuller is always a really good showrunner and writer. The show was a little too serialized for me, or like episodic, and I know that sounds dumb, but I'm spoiled by all the quote-unquote prestige TV that does basically in a giant movie.
It is very much a every you can episode see the we formula. Have a new killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually, I don't know. I love the show. I just kind of woke up one day, had no desire to watch the next one and then haven't gone back. Mm-hmm. But I would like to finish it. It has a very rabid fan base, so I'm sure it ends well.
It was recently canceled. So I believe that the third season is its last, which is very sad. But I've been enjoying the shit out of it so mm-hmm. far.
It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous looking show. Mads great in it. And, you know, it's just, I'm just surprised because for a while it was on what, NBC or ABC? It was on network TV, mm-hmm. but they got away with like, it's a pretty gory show.
It is.
Especially for network TV. And it's surprising that they were able to like go on with that for as long as they did.
There is some graphic imagery in it. I was pretty pleasantly surprised with knowing very well that it was a, you know, broadcast, you know, serialized TV show, like a bastardization of Thomas Harris's vision for Red Dragon and Hannibal Lecter in general. I was like, God damn, this is actually really good. So I've been enjoying the shit out of it. There's one other thing that I streamed, but I'm pretty sure we all streamed it. So I'm going to go ahead and pass the baton over to Steve.
Steve, how's that baton feeling?
Oh, it girthy.
It's a grower.
It's a grower. It's definitely. So I've actually streamed two things. The first thing isn't what Andy was referring to, but I will get to that because the first thing I want to talk about is Falcon and Winter Soldier. I've continued to watch that. I've gotten through episode 3. I'm really enjoying it so far. It is an uneven show. I feel like that falls mostly on the direction. What I mean is like one scene will be like really expertly crafted and funny and or serious and really well done. And then the next scene will feel out of touch and like totally off. And then they'll go back to something that makes sense. And it's a little uneven in certain spots, but I'm really, really having fun with specifically the Falcon and Winter Soldier. I really like their chemistry and dynamic. Like anytime they're on screen together, I'm just having a blast watching it. Mm-hmm. And Baron Zemo came back in the last episode, which isn't a spoiler because he's in the trailer.
Oh, cool.
But I just love that character from Civil War.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. Daniel Brühl's the best part of the show for me. I think it's a complete mess, but I love Zemo.
Yeah.
Hashtag Zemo.
And that's the thing. Objectively, as I watch it, like, this is kind of a mess of a show, but I'm having a fun time.
Yeah, like, I'm definitely going to watch the next episode. But I found myself checking my phone a lot, which I typically don't do. And I actually usually judge people for. So
it's funny because when episode 2 ended, I had the very distinct thought of like, oh, man, I want to watch the next one right now. And then after I watched the third episode today. And at the end of that, I'm like, I had fun with that.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'll come back to you next week, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because I think episode 3 is the most uneven.
Yes.
Episode 2 is really
There's some
good.
Really cool shit in episode 3.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't want to get too into spoilers, but a certain character comes back and does some really cool shit. There's some really good set pieces, but also just like, what is going on? You guys are all over the the who? You know?
The what?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been watching that. I've enjoyed it. I'm sure we're going to do a overall seasonal recap episode similar to what we did with WandaVision when it's over, but that's in 3 more weeks. I think it's six episodes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that I believe all 3 of us have watched that I streamed this week is a Netflix film called Bad Trip. Mm-hmm. Stars Eric Andre, and it's kind of like, how would you describe it? It's almost similar to like a Jackass type movie, but there's a narrative through line to it. It's not just
compared to Borat.
It's been
Borat's a good
Jackass meets Borat has been like the internet tagline to compare it to, because there are some like extreme things that Borat wouldn't do, if that makes any sense, because there's pretty no holds barred in Borat. But
I mean, so it's like a guerrilla style filmed narrative feature. So it is filmed like these pranks that are played on unsuspecting people who they then later got permission to use their footage. If they didn't, you'll see that their faces are blurred out. But there is a narrative thread that ties it together, wherein there are no standers by who are unaware of what's going on. They actually have a narrative thread with just the lead characters that takes place in between all of these pranks that they pull, and they actually tell a story, and it's released as a feature film. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty funny. I don't know if these type of movies are necessarily my type of thing, but I had a good, I mean, there are way worse times you can spend an hour and 25 minutes. It was certainly funny in parts. My favorite part of it was actually the credits.
When you got to see the takes they didn't use?
Yeah. You get to see people's reactions to realizing that what they saw was a prank and not real life. Because there were some genuine, like, some people were, like, scared for their lives in a couple of those skits.
Sure. I mean, there's some really dangerous things that they do in that movie.
One thing I do like that they do is all these quote-unquote innocent people, you know, these bystanders that don't know these things are a prank that are happening to them, all of these people are never, the pranks are never being done to them. They're just kind of there.
They're witnesses.
To witness all this shit sure. that's happening to mostly Eric Andre or Tiffany Haddish or I forget the...
Lil Ray.
Lil Rel. Howery.
It's definitely little.
But all the pranks are happening to the three core characters.
Correct.
And the bystanders are there sort of witnessing to add like, well, what the fuck are they doing? You know, that kind of stuff. And so I like that because sometimes those prank shows can be a little, they can feel mean if they're like happening to a person.
Yeah.
So I love icky. That about the show. Yeah.
I think I liked it the most out of all three of us. Like it's the funniest thing I've seen in a decade. I'm pretty sure I can say that with very little hyperbole. Mm-hmm. You guys were like, yeah, that was funny, right? Is that the general consensus?
I think I once again am kind of falling in the middle. Like Steve is okay. Me, I thought it was very good, but I did not love it the way you did.
I was like belly laughter. I mean, honestly, it's definitely the best. I don't know. I can't even think of anything other than that made me laugh that hard. Mm-hmm. I really can't. I mean, Borat subsequent movie film is the thing before that that I definitely almost achieved that much laughter. So maybe I'm just really into the hidden camera thing, but like Palm Springs was hilarious, mm-hmm. but I could not breathe watching Bad Trip for multiple scenes.
Can I ask what scene, was there a particular scene that stands out to you as like the one that
where I lost my mind?
Yeah.
Well, one of them is the zoo.
Oh yeah.
That's why I lost my mind at his audacity.
That one's the most absurd
when
they do.
Yeah.
When he goes back in, like, we don't want to spoil it. Right. Oh my God.
Yes. That's when it happened for me. And then also a really inane part where he's in the car talking to Lorel, about, did you look that up? That is the correct pronunciation.
Lorel.
They're talking about the movie White Chicks. No, I don't want to spoil anything, but just that conversation, like my wife looked at me and she's laughing along with me. But at that part,
the movie White Chicks is what they're referring to. Not just like White Chicks.
They're talking about the movie White Chicks with the Wayans brothers and their conversation. And in particular, a certain thing he says had me dying of laughter. And she's like, I don't understand why you're laughing so hard.
you've got to know that movie. And that line's really funny.
But if you haven't seen it, listener at home, it's on Netflix. It's an original. And I'm not typically the biggest fan of Eric Andre. Like I'm not anything, I don't have anything against the man. I just
heard up
the Tim and Eric show. that kind of late night Adult Swim stuff just seemed goofy to me, especially when I stopped smoking weed. So I really had no plans to check this out, but it was something inane we thought we could watch. I loved it. And not only is it hilarious, Tiffany Haddish is actually,
she's great.
Given a phenomenal performance.
She's unrecognizable in it.
Fearless. Yeah, like,
There's a clip where she's like in some random dude's face and they're like yelling at each other, but she never breaks character. Nope. And it's really funny.
It's so amazing
because it could be like, I can see from that guy's perspective, how like he's in a position of like, this person's being hostile towards me. I'm going to like defend myself and like yell back. But the way she's delivering her lines to him is so goddamn funny. Like, I think his name's Craig. He's like, what are you talking about? Craig. And like, she just keeps saying his name and just makes him more and more mad the further it goes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, God.
But honestly, this might sound ridiculous, but I found the movie to be heartwarming at times. Mm-hmm. Like, not the plot itself, like the friendship thing that can kind of get to you. But watching the bystanders and how they interact with the main characters, because you would think in a hidden camera show, you might just find all of the worst parts of humanity, but, and maybe they edit it that way, but I don't see what the point of that would be. All of these people, for the most part, react in really endearing ways. So they're good humans. They try to help.
Even when it would not be beneficial to help.
Not
like
at all.
Some people like really do that.
Yep.
Like they could, in a real situation, by helping Eric Andre or whomever, could really put them in a very difficult position.
Yep.
Morally and legally, technically, but mm-hmm. Well, not morally, because they're doing the right thing.
I know what you're
thing.
Talking about. I know what you're referring
and to. It's just fascinating to see how the people were like, okay, yeah, like they go above and beyond. And I'm sure they probably did that, you know, five times or whatever and picked the best response.
Sure. I'd be really curious to see the unused takes.
Well, that's what I thought you said you liked about the credits. There's a couple unused takes in there. And I really, thought that was interesting to kind of like think about from a filmmaking aspect, how that would look and how they would set up these scenarios in these obviously open businesses. And I found myself while I was watching, I'm like, so they would have to get permission from the owner. Obviously they didn't build this store. These people are coming in to purchase things like they've done this before. Right. Mm-hmm. And just like set up a fake shop. So it's just fascinating to me how that process from a producer standpoint would have worked. But yeah, I just, the way some people reacted, I was driven to tears at least once. Just like, oh, that's fucking beautiful. Look at how he's trying to help so hard. And it sucks that I know it's all a joke, you know, poor guy, but you know, that's beautiful, you know? So I really recommend it for that. Not only is it hilarious, but if you look at it from the right angle, it can actually give you a little bit of hope in humanity.
Yeah. Agreed.
There's a lot of dick jokes around that hope. Not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of hope, but it is a very vulgar movie. So just
for sure. So, do not watch with kids.
No.
what else were you streaming?
Or squares.
Yeah. No kids or squares.
Those are my two. Those are my two.
That is it. Okay. So I've been streaming some things as well. I watched a cartoon, an animated show on Amazon Prime. It's available to stream. It comes from Robert Kirkman, co-creator of The Walking Dead, and it's called Invincible, and it's based on his comic book series that he also co-created. So yes, it is a superhero comic, and it's like there's a lot of that going around right now, but it's closer to The Boys than it is anything else that you're watching, like Falcon and the Winter Soldier or anything like that. Go watch it. The animation is beautiful. I just thought, I heard Robert Kirkman was on a podcast that I listened to, and I like that guy. I like how he talks. He talks good. He's got good words and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've liked previous stories that he's been a part of creating. So I thought, hey, I'll check it out. Sucked me right in. And then the end of the pilot, just watch through the pilot. If you get to the very end of the credits of the pilot and you are not sold, good. Just walk away. But I guarantee that you will be like, holy shit, and just have to watch the next episode. Did you guys happen to check out Invincible?
Not yet. No, but you're the second person that has spoken very highly of it in my life. So I think I'm going to have to
knock my socks off. The animation's beautiful. And it's, listen to this cast. It's got Steven Yeun for sure, the guy from The Walking Dead, but also, you know, nominated for Oscars and Minari. It's got a whole, like the cast is actually bonkers, batshit crazy. And I don't know how they manage this, like the budget for this, or if everybody's just like, Robert Kirkman's such a good guy, I'll be in his thing. I'm not really sure how that works.
I mean, he's got Walking Dead money, so he pretty much has a blank check.
It's true. Well, he's got, it's like a Steven Yeun. You got J.K. Simmons, Sandra Oh. Nice. You've got, let's keep on scrolling down, Walton Goggins. We talked about him earlier.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Walton Goggins.
Jason Mantzoukas.
I love Jason Mantzoukas.
Zachary Quinto.
I love Zachary Quinto. Oh,
I do actually love Zachary Quinto.
I love Zachary Quinto.
Mark Hamill.
Oh, don't even start it on Marky Mark Hamill.
Seth Rogen. Clancy Brown. Do you guys know Clancy Brown?
Yeah, he's great. He's in everything.
He's doing a lot of voice acting nowadays, too.
Everything.
Yep.
He was in The Mandalorian season one. He was the big Devorian guy that, the devil-looking alien. And he's like, in, you know, the episode where they were breaking the guy out of the New Republic prison ship? Yeah, he was the big devil-looking character that's like immune to flame. Sorry, that was a weird.
He's kind of like that in this show too. It's kind of weird. That's the kind of, he plays Damian Darkblood, the demon detective.
I think his biggest role is probably the warden in Shawshank Redemption.
I always think of him as the guy who throws people off the roof because he needs his taxes done. Mahershala Ali, John Hamm. I can keep going.
Jesus Christ.
This thing is Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead. This shit's crazy. Absolutely bonkers.
Oh, they got the couple from Walking Dead.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's amazing. I watched episode. I was more excited tenfold to watch Invincible episode 4 than Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 3 this morning. I watched them both, but I watched Invincible first, and I was super stoked. And I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier just so that I could engage in conversations online.
I think every other episode, there's a streaming thing section where Chris just reads a cast list and we're like, what?
It's part of our thing. It's basically the only contribution.
I know those names.
Streaming things. They have the IMDb app. So I listen to them for all the update news.
Just wait till they see you check the gate.
Also, just real quick. So that's on Amazon Prime. That's Invincible. I also watched a couple episodes of a show on Netflix called Worn Stories. And I just wanted to highlight this because I think it's kind of something you might skip over typically when you're scrolling Netflix on a late night trying to find something to watch. Have you guys seen this documentary show?
No.
So it's about clothing and specifically the stories that are embedded in the clothing itself. Like, hey, this is how I got these shoes and this is what they mean to me. My grandmother gave me this tie.
I bought them.
Right. I walked in the store. And it's a really interesting docu-show, docu-series with some really heartfelt stories. Honestly, my wife was watching it and she said, hey, I think you really like this show. And I was getting ready for work. And I said, hey, I'll sit down and watch this for a minute with you and see what it's about. And, you know, it's hard for something to kind of reach in your chest and squeeze that heart that fast, especially when you got other things on your mind. But it touched me. I just have to say that quickly.
Can you tell me where on this doll it touched you?
Yeah. Actually, right
there?
I will show you on you, actually, if you don't mind.
Come here.
So do you know saxophone player from Lost Boys?
Lost Boys, the vampire movie?
Yeah, the 80s movie with Sutherland. Yeah. So there's a shirtless, up, strapped saxophone player that's very famous for sexually gyrating while he plays the saxophone in that movie.
Yeah.
He actually was a real saxophone player that toured with Tina Turner and stuff for a long time. So
TT.
The show spends a good deal of time in one particular episode talking about him and his cod piece, because he wears a cod piece.
As all saxophone players do.
It was gifted to him by Tina Turner.
Bequeathed unto him by the Turner.
it's fascinating stuff. Stuff like that. You know what I mean? And he talks
so
about.
He wears it all the time.
He does. It cuts to him in his house and he's like, honey, can you grease me up? And she's rubbing the grease on his, little
older muscles. I got a funeral to play at today.
Grease me up. I got a funeral.
His less visible muscles.
But he talks about how the codpiece helps him get into character and, his journey and how in the 80s he had tons of work. And then obviously in the 90s, having a saxophone player in your band went out of style. So he couldn't find any work for about 15 years until
that short revival where everybody got super back into Scott.
No, it was just the Lost Boys. He's like, it's the funniest thing. This like 8-second clip that nobody gave a fuck about until 30 years later. All of a sudden, I'm the biggest thing on the internet, and he got to do TV appearances. And he's like, now I have my own albums. I'm touring again.
Oh, good.
Life's
for him.
Funny. Look at life. And I still have this leather studded cock cover that I wear everywhere. And it's just an interesting little thing because I like things like that where it's like, I made a documentary about toothpicks. And then you're like, who the fuck wants to watch a documentary about toothpicks? And then this documentary about toothpicks just shows you so much about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. And you're like, oh my God. And you want to share these toothpicks with everybody. I find that beautiful.
I love documentaries that are about the most random shit like that. Because I mean, it's so easy to be like, let's make a documentary about the Kennedy assassination. Right. Like, okay.
Well, we both went presidents on that one.
Yeah, we did. Well, we do have a president's episode. Like, I used to be really into Vox mini docs. It was just on their YouTube channel. You know, Vox, right. The media company.
Yeah.
They would do random. I don't know if they still do it. I think they might have stopped, but they used to do mini documentaries on like the most random shit. And I just ate it up. Like, why are Victorian homes always the stereotypical haunted house in movies? And it was just the history of why that's what people associate with being a haunted house. And it's just documentaries like that. Like, it just, you would never think like, oh, what happened to
that? You don't know that you want to know more about that.
Yeah.
Until you're stuck and you're like, I do want to know more. Like,
actually, that's interesting.
Why is he greasing himself up? What does that do? Do I need to do that?
Is he shirtless with just the cock piece when he goes on Ellen?
Should I wear a cod piece? Would that help me at my job?
Can I play the saxophone?
So funny story, we're all three wearing cod pieces right now just to see if we put on a better audio show for you folks. And you can judge for yourself how well that's working.
I call it my power piece. My power piece.
So I think that's all that we've been streaming here on Streaming Things. Let's move on to our next segment. Check the gate.
Check the gate.
So Check the Gate is the segment wherein Streaming Things, that's us, brings you, that's you, the hottest, freshest, most steaming, hot off the press TV and film news known to man that you can get literally anywhere else and probably have first.
That's Andy.
Hey. Andy, you brought me some. You checked my gate the other day. What news did you have?
That is one hell of a gate. Let me start by saying that. News broke while I was on the phone with Chris. I was like, bro, stop what you're talking about. He was talking about one of his long-winded rants like he does. I was like, bro, shut up for a second. Listen to this. Netflix bought the rights to produce and broadcast the Knives Out 2 and 3 sequels.
Steve was unimpressed.
Ryan Johnson reprising himself as director.
He is reprising himself. He will be no one else.
He will be no one other than himself. And they're bringing back Benoit Blanc. Old Daniel Craig is going to be, it's going to be like a serial mystery detective thing. It's in the vein of like Sherlock Holmes or Agatha Christie Agatha Christie. I'm super fucking stoked. That was bar none the best movie of the year. Was that 2019 that movie came out?
I think so.
Goddamn, do I love that movie.
That movie's so goddamn good.
So
I am dicks out for Knives Out 2 and 3.
So much so. In fact, Steve and I went and rewatched it in theater, and we were such nerds that we downloaded Ryan Johnson's director commentary and put in earbuds.
I remember when you did that.
And just didn't even listen to the movie at all. We listened to the director commentary in theater. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I love that movie.
And Ryan Johnson's got such a soothing voice. I wish he would come on the podcast and just talk to me.
No one else.
Yeah, and I would just record it and play it while I sleep.
Little banjo.
He'd be like, good night, Chris.
Play music. He does that a lot.
Yeah, Ryan Johnson brings you another episode of Good Night, Chris. You're so special, Chris. I love you.
Is he just going
to... Yeah, he's just talking to me while I go to sleep.
Is he going to pull out his little banjo and like, you're so special?
Does he play banjo?
Dude, every podcast I've ever listened to with Ryan on it, he always just... Like he'll just like strum a little strum now and then. That's just his thing, I guess. But he's like he's probably one of my favorite writer directors at the moment. People call him divisive only because of Star Wars, but like literally every other movie he's made, take Star Wars out of it. The Star Wars movie that we all love, take that movie out of it. He's made nothing but bangers.
Yep. I watched for the first time Brothers Bloom recently, and even that is amazing.
Yeah.
Very underrated film.
I remember watching Brick way back in whenever that came out, like mid-2000s.
Early aughts.
Yep. I remember Andy telling me about that. He's like, dude, you got to check out this new movie. This director is going to be big. And I was like, shut up, Andy. You don't know shit.
And look at him now. Mm-hmm. You owe him money. Now.
Yeah, I do indeed.
$50 gift card.
In other news, Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin has been offered a fucking just a truckload of cash. I can only imagine. So he's locked into
the money bus.
Park it next to my other truckload of cash.
So they've got a huge deal with HBO Max to unleash five Song of Ice and Fire universe stories unto us. So not just Game of Thrones and then House of Dragon, which has already been greenlit, but four other properties, I believe. So you're going to have the Duncan Egg series. You're going to have Nymeria and her, conquering raid of Westeros. I just can't believe that they're going to beat it that hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And they're nobody loves chase, that universe bro. More than me. I'm a little worried. Yeah. I would like George to finish the Song of Ice and Fire books.
Yeah. He doesn't give a fuck about that.
And I'm excited to see, on the screen as much of that universe as I can, but I just think that's crazy. Five?
Yeah. And a stage production.
Like, oh, that's right. He's doing a Broadway musical version of something. So that's just fascinating. That's about all the news that I have for y'all this week. Thundercats will be a movie directed by Adam Wingard, which ties us in today's review because he directed the movie that we're talking about. Any interest in a Thundercats movie?
Thundercats. Ho!
I feel like if anybody here did, it would be Steve.
Now that's Masters of the Universe, right? Is that the same world or Thundercats is something?
No.
Okay. Never mind then.
Same era.
I'll shut up.
Both 80s.
I just was immediately started thinking about there's a Masters of the Universe TV show coming out with on Netflix that Kevin Smith is, I think, showrunner on.
Yeah.
And
that's an animated show.
In my head, I kind of just melded Thundercats and He-Man into the
You same, probably same played universe. With the toys together. You made them fight.
Oh, 100%.
But no, they're not the same at all. Steve, do you have some gate you want to check?
No.
All right. I don't. That brings us to our main event. We're going to review Godzilla versus Kong right now. Oh my God, it's scary.
It sounded like the you coming side of
it. Andy, I told you not to make fun of my noises.
All right, that's a good start. Good start. We'll start with opening thoughts overall on the film, and then I'm sure we'll have a spoiler bumper somewhere in there. Is that a plan, Steve? Everybody's going to warn them. Yes. We got him. Andy, what were your overall thoughts on Godzilla versus Kong? It was a big deal on the internet. We want to know what Andy thinks.
Okay, overall thoughts. Nobody's motivation makes any fucking sense whatsoever. It is occasionally very aesthetically pleasing, and some parts of the actual versus aspect of the movie were fun. Overall, D plus.
So you really like the movie.
So this is going to go right under Tenet on your next film. Yeah.
Top 10 of the year for sure.
I was pretty underwhelmed, and I tried real hard to just suspend all disbelief and just be like, you know what? It's a kaiju movie. I'm going to let them fight.
Let them fight. As Ken Watanabe would say.
And they almost tried to treat it like this, like series of fights, like everybody has to get in their licks, and every fan of every
so much major monster in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Is going to be at least somewhat satisfied. And I wanted to see either fucking Kong get blown in half, or have Godzilla get just his neck snapped. I wanted commitment, and I didn't get that. I just got like a try to make everybody happy experience, and it just didn't do it for me. Now that said, there were some super cool production designing. It has a wonderful cast, most of whom are very poorly utilized. The movie's not without its merits, but if you are going in expecting any kind of semblance of a sensical plot, you're not going to get that. And if you're going in as a fan of any of these actors, you are not going to be happy with their part. And so I don't know who this movie is going to please.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
That's my review. May God have mercy on their soul. Steve, what did you think of Godzilla versus Kong?
Well, I hate this movie. I don't like this movie at all. This movie made me actively angry. I actually, like I was telling Andy earlier, when the movie was over, I was mad that I watched it. And I'm wondering how much of that is because the film's awful, because it is, and how much of that is because everyone on the internet, at least in the circles that I follow, seem to love it and always like, yeah, it's a dumb monster movie, but if you get past that, it's a lot of fun. Is it? I don't think it is. I think it's really fucking boring and stupid. And just like, even if as so, again, I'm not a huge fan of this franchise. I mean, I'll watch them and like, oh, whatever. I'm watching Godzilla. Cool, cool, cool. But I've seen the movies that take place in this universe, right? I've seen Godzilla 2014. I've seen Kingdom Monsters. I've seen Skull Island. You're telling me in the universe that is laid out, the Kong Godzilla cinematic universe that they have laid out over the course of several films, that humankind has gone from 2014 to fucking spaceships and lasers and mechazords and whatever the and ships that can carry kaiju. I like every circle. Like Andy said that this film is without its merit, and I disagree because I think this movie's trash from top to bottom.
Wow. Like,
even the you know, oh, that's a pretty well-framed shot. Yeah, sure, it's good. That's the bare minimum that you should reach as a film of this caliber. You should be able to make a good shot, especially when you're filming interesting things like giant, you know, monkeys and lizards fighting each other. That should be the bare fucking minimum. But but most shots, I mean, all of them are, it's like a giant CGI fest, which is fine. But I didn't even think the CGI was that great. I thought the art design of the world in general was just like, too much goddamn neon. Stop it with the neon. Okay, let's turn off the neon a little bit. And it's not even good looking neon. It's like, it just looked really fake the entire time. All the characters suck. The actors suck in it. Even the actors I like suck in it. And I just don't understand why so many people are like, oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun with this movie. Yeah, turn your brain off. And it's like, I went in with low expectations and still came out upset.
I thought the 9-minute sex scene between Godzilla and Kong was an interesting choice. At least they had the courage of their convictions.
The way they used that tail, bro.
I should have gone for 12 more.
And people liked bold call choice. Me by your name.
Bold move, Cotton.
Yeah. So sorry.
Kong busts out the peach.
I was really interested to record this episode because I really have had a lot of pent up anger from this movie. And this has been my only outlet. Cause I literally watched this movie last night at like 11:30 at night. So I've had to sit and stew with my thoughts on this for, 16 hours now. And I'm just like,
stew.
Nice. Did you realize you
so let's talk about it.
What did you think, Chris?
I feel really guilty because I feel like there's some listeners out there that probably really enjoyed the film and want to hear a quasi intellectual discussion about it. And since I also did not like the film, I don't feel like we have much to offer in the way of that. So I'll apologize. I apologize in advance. Mm-hmm. But you knew this coming in that this is where I was going to sit probably because, again, 2014's Godzilla is pretty widely regarded as a darn good movie by a lot of critics that I respect. I think that movie is hot garbage. And I really like Skull Island, though. Like I've watched that twice. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself both times. So I was hoping it would lean more toward the Skull Island side of things, like just have a ball. And it kind of tried to somewhat. I think it's the second best of the four. Godzilla versus Kong. I'll give it that. And I think that's purely because Kong's in it. And I seem to just have a Kong thing. Can't go wrong with Kong.
You like the monkeys.
I do.
They really lean into getting you to side with Kong.
Sort of. And I think it's interesting that you said that, Andy. You wanted Kong to get blown in half, which is just goddamn awful.
Or Godzilla to be destroyed. I wanted somebody to win. But
you can't do that because the whole conceit, if you buy into the universe, is that they're both really good beings that protect humanity. And the fact that they're fighting is a tragic happenstance. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that the whole conceit of a third enemy. What's so funny, Steve?
I just thought like, well, at no point in the movie did I think this is so tragic. They're both fighting because the audience why they're both fighting. And I think they could have really made the movie better if they did kind of lean into this is kind of tragic that these two heroic characters are having to fight each other. But they don't do that at all. They make a choice from minute one to be like, Godzilla sucks. He sucks. Well, everyone hates Godzilla.
They make some pretty strong assumptions. Well, I think, so let's do this. I just wanted to warn the listener, you know, obviously we respect filmmaking. We know they're very hard to make. Hundreds of people made this film. We're not trying to shit on that, but let's do that. So spoilers starting now.
You are entering spoiler territory.
You're bullshit.
Perfect lead up to how we feel about this movie. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So no holds barred. We're going to spoil Godzilla versus Kong. You've just seen it on HBO Max. You want to hang out with us and talk about it now. So let's do that. So it opens up with Kong
scratching his ass.
And already they lost me within 6 minutes. They lost me immediately. How the fuck did you get Kong off that island and put him in this manufactured?
Well, it's on the island.
Is it?
Yeah.
They're not even clear about that. They just created.
It's a dome on Skull Island.
Okay. How did you land on this island that we've seen in the late 60s, early 70s? It's very difficult to get to without Kong killing all of you, because he killed like 90% of the last visitors within 5 minutes, right? And then not only that, but construct this massive dome around this powerful beast, king of his own domain, with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, he is not king of shit. They're like, I think it's literally while he is in chains on the boat, she says, Kong bows to no one. It's like, bitch, he's in chains.
Right,
like,
he's right there.
He's king of nothing. You have tamed him. You could kill him in a heartbeat. You turn off the engines of this boat and Kong is done.
There's literally a line in that same scene where they're like, hey, don't put the sedatives too high. We want him lucid. You could OD him.
Yeah.
Right there if you wanted to.
Right.
It immediately lost me too. Well, it lost me with the butt scratch, which is how they opened the movie. I'm like, oh God, this is going to be one of those fucking movies that tries to be funny. It's never going to land. And it doesn't. Surprise. That's spoilers for you. And like some of the action was cool, but goddamn, dude. Yeah. Like Kong, they made Kong out to be a fucking wimp. And it's like, this motherfucking.
Yeah. They castrated Kong pretty early. Like, yeah, you're right. They had humans outwitting him with some human designs and previously, and they tried to allude to that. Like he bows to no one was supposed to be a really cool line. And it almost worked for me. Cause I'm a, you know, I like,
he is a
I like Skull
captivity.
Island. Right. But, and the boat imagery is neat because that's the original Kong story, right? They bring him to New York and then he, you know, gets loose. And I know you've got a certain amount of willing suspension of disbelief, as William James calls it, right? I mean, you're talking about gigantic apes and gigantic lizards and magical creatures and a bunch of radioactive stuff with it not how radiation works at all, right? And we've already said fuck all that. So I understand that, but you have to operate within the confines of your own universe. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't make any sense. Right.
No.
So I wrote in my notes, when did Monarch capture Kong? What's going on right now? Right. They had nothing. They could have planted that seed at least in King of Monsters. Like, oh, we got this giant monkey. We got, you know, something to make me like prepare for that.
There was so much about this movie that totally threw away the setup world that they've been building for so many years. That's why I honestly think if I had never seen the last few movies and just watched this, I probably would still hate it, but I would feel less apprehensive towards it. Like mm-hmm. One of my biggest pet peeves that movies do is when they set up ground rules. Like this is the reality we're in. You could do all sorts of weird shit in a movie as long as you set up that is possible within the reality. Like I buy it. But when you start just blowing it up for no reason, that really takes me out of it. And I can't stress how mad I was when I'm like, okay, they have a giant Super Bowl sized building on Kong Skull Island that has holographic projectors. When did could they do that?
It reminded me of Hunger Games.
Oh, mm-hmm. There's giant tunnels that go through the fucking planet that have hovercraft in them. There's like a weird electronic cloud car that they're driving around in. And there's so much technology that's like, how did humanity get to that point in 2021 when we were just a normal society in 2014?
They could have easily set it 20 to 30 years in the future and navigated all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For as far as my willingness to buy that.
Yeah.
But that didn't even bother me so much. It was clearly, I could see the seams in the writing and like how they wrote themselves in and out of certain problems. And I never want to see that. I never want to see a writer's room when I'm watching a movie. And it just obviously explains him being in captivity explains why he was not in the King of Monsters film. Mm-hmm. Right. So we could have this fight now. Oh, he was stuck in here. He would have been out fighting Godzilla with the other guys. It's like, okay, that's, I get it. Whatever. Moving on. Right. So then the movie opens with a podcast.
like you do,
which, you know, I took a little bit of the podcast jokes a little too closely to heart. It's funny.
Those were good jokes.
I like the character. And I saw a lot about Millie Bobby Brown and the podcaster and her New Zealand friend. You just take them out of the movie completely and you'd have a good movie. I disagree. But I can see what they're saying. Like, it's the human elements that are by far the weakest, but I actually kind of like their interactions. I love Millie Bobby Brown. Everybody who's been a big fan of this show knows we love MBB here on Streaming Things, right? She's doing good work. The podcaster character was funny, a little silly, a little too funny, but I'm buying it.
She'll probably be in jail for doing these things with these teenagers.
Right. And I'm a sucker for anybody with a New Zealand accent. You know, yeah. Peace off, ghost. It's just shit. They're saying normal things sometimes. And I'm just like, yes.
The only thing that I liked that kid for was when they were trying to hack into the computers at Apex in order to try to shut down Mechagodzilla. He was like, the guy said, "We'll try the password." He's like, "I thought you said you knew this." He's like, "I said I took a fucking HTML class in summer camp or whatever." It finally was like one of the first movies ever to be like, "What the fuck are you doing, Mr. Layman, sitting at the computer trying to hack into the most secure network of all time?" Because it happens in all of these movies.
Yeah, it's always generic just, smart computer guy.
Type really fast and then they're in.
We're in.
You know,
yeah. Whereas
he ended up like pouring liquor on it, which obviously that's not going to have the effect that it did in the movie. But like,
I can't break the signal. Let me pour water on the thing. Oh, right. We got in.
No, the homies came up and they unplugged it.
Pipe down there.
That was hilarious when he said, it wasn't hilarious. It was neat when he said, what was it, a 90s camp? Because yeah, nobody uses HTML anymore.
That was honestly the best joke of the whole movie with that one.
He got me with that one.
I got to disagree. Like, I really disagree with what you said about Millie Bobby Brown. Like, she's terrible in this movie.
I just love Millie Bobby Brown. I'm not saying like Oscar worthy performance. I'm just saying, oh, there she is. That's fun for me.
I love Millie Bobby Brown too. And most of this, I'm blaming most of this on the writing and directing.
100%. Don't you fucking dare blame Millie.
Because I feel like they changed her character from King of the Monsters to now, because now she's like, hop on my New Zealand buddy that's living in the area for some reason. Like, hop on with me. We're going to go track down this podcaster because he's speaking the truth. And it's like if someone, like, what in that guy's delivery? Because the movie really opens up with a podcaster, right? He's the central character that the movie kind of brings you with.
Yeah, he's an employee at Apex
he's clearly clueless. He's clearly a comedic character that's kind of an idiot and he's in over his head and he doesn't know what he's doing. But somehow that has translated, and you hear his podcast too. It sounds like, hey guys, I'm here and I'm freaking out and it's just crazy. Somehow that has translated Millie Bobby Brown in this movie as like, you know, he's a real investigative journalist. He's telling the truth. We should put all our eggs into that basket. What in what world? Yeah. Would you listen to that man and what he's saying and think that guy's got his shit together? You know what?
It really makes her character seem like a moron.
Like, they really make her seem like an idiot in this movie. And I think that is, and being such a huge Millie Bobby Brown fan, like, that's part of, again, there's a lot of things that I think this movie typically wouldn't upset people, but I think it was like tailor made to press my buttons in very, very specific ways that I didn't even know existed. I didn't know I had these buttons, but now I know them.
They have been pressed. Her arc is by far the worst part of the movie. It's just accidentally stumbling into the dumbest situations. Half of her arc is, oops, how did we end up here? We should probably go hide. Oops, now we got put somewhere else. And that is the
miraculously escape. Inescapable situation.
The whole of her arc. Skull
crawlers, everything.
Right? Never mind Kyle Chandler. His entire arc is calling her and saying, where are you? And then that's it. That's all he does the entire movie.
Yeah.
Kyle Chandler, every time, that's his name, right? Kyle Chandler.
Yes.
Every time he would show up on screen, I would have this reaction every time. Oh yeah, I forgot he was in this. Cause he literally shows up, hey Millie Bobby Brown, what are you doing? Okay, bye, and then leaves. Which is a shame because I mean I like that actor. And out of everybody in this movie, he's the one they should focus on the most because dude's in King of the Monsters, dude's in Peter Jackson's King Kong. He's got the most.
Was he in Peter Jackson's Kong?
Yeah, he was the male actor lead in the quote unquote movie that Jack Black was filming.
With Naomi Watts, like,
yeah, he was the heroic actor, but really he's like a cowardly like
douche,
ego douche. Yeah, huh. So he's in the most King Kong movies out of anybody in this one, and he's like barely in it.
Call Kyle.
What did you like? What did you think of my tweet, Kyle? Steve? I saw you. You were only 20 minutes in at the time when I said that Godzilla versus King Kong is basically Batman v Superman meets Congo, but not as cool as it sounds.
That's perfect.
Because it's literally the plot of Batman versus Superman. Like, Godzilla is the Superman, where it's like, if there's even a 1% chance that he could turn against us, we have to have a way to stop him. So they go to Hollow Earth to find the kryptonite, basically. And then Kong's Batman. And finds out Mothra, you know, he says, why did you say that name? And then they become friends.
Why did you say Mothra?
Mothra, that's hysterical.
And they both fight
Mothra,
Mechagodzilla. And it's that's the real enemy. I mean, it's the same thing. But then you have the sign language monkey from Congo in the middle of that sprinkled in.
Yeah.
Which I think you did a wonderful impersonation of the monkey from Congo one time, didn't you?
Hurt. No.
Only now it's somehow that little girl taught him, yes, your family, your ancestors, and your enemies are going to be inside of the hole in the ground. And Kong is like, I understand you. I know. Dope.
It's so funny. She's like, oh my God, he speaks sign language. And she's like, yeah, look. And you look up at Kong and he's like, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? It's like, wow.
Steve had a good point. I was talking to him about it before we recorded. He was like, that is like, Andy, you standing here in your house looking down at an ant and be him like... twitching at you slightly and you being like, yes, he is not an enemy, pointing at my dog. So like,
just imagine an ant gesticulating towards you on your kitchen floor and being like, yeah, this is home. You're right.
Thanks, ant.
Thanks for teaching me the knowledge I needed to communicate, ant.
I was actually kind of moved when Kong signed for home, because I was like, sure. Oh,
worked for me. That little girl,
until she kept signing.
The little girl is the best character and the human character in the movie, bar none. She does a phenomenal job. I think they could have done a lot more with that. It's just Kong was a little too articulate for one, and it just, they didn't earn any of that. And there's too much other bullshit going on around inside it. So Hollow Earth is dope. I wrote that down. I thought that was a phenomenal execution. They should have spent a lot more time down there. That was really neat.
I thought, so there's a section in Hollow Earth where Kong kind of gets to the point where gravity flips and he kind of floats, you know, he floats to the other side of the world. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, cool. There's going to be a bomb ass fight scene between Godzilla and Kong, like where gravity's giving out on them and they're fighting. Never happens.
No, it didn't happen. No, it was going to be neat, but it didn't happen. Nope. In fact, the part where I almost turned it off, King Kong literally sits on a literal throne at one point with a scepter.
It was an axe.
Yeah.
But it was a scepter.
Yeah, right? He was holding it like a scepter.
He's a king. Like, fuck this movie.
And he sets it in the ground. And then of course, she's a bad guy girl.
Right.
Sends out her little robot to collect a sample. And Rebecca Hall suddenly says, what are you doing? That's Discovery of a Century. You can't just take a sample of it. It's like, that was the plan.
You're right.
From the fucking beginning was go down there and get a sample.
Extract it.
And it wasn't like she got cold feet and was like, you know what? We shouldn't do this, guys.
She was like, wait, what?
She acted surprised.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck did you think you were doing down there? Just going to visit?
And everybody being hyper willing. It just doesn't make, I'm sorry, listeners. I know it's a movie, but come on. You know what? I don't want to be such a dick, but it's just like,
it's so hard because
Alexander Skarsgård, you come to him and you're like, why are we in his office? Okay. He's a Hollow Earth expert that everybody thinks is crazy. It's like, okay, we need your help to go down here. Again, it's kind of like the issue that you had with Tom
Hiddleston
in Skull Island. It's like, why? What's he going to do? He's never been there either. This is a theoretical science that he's thought about a little bit. Okay, bring him along. Fuck it.
His brother went and died.
Was there any, like, you just rewatched them. Was there any, like,
mention of Hollow Earth?
So his brother going down there and getting crushed by gravity was not just out of left field? Because for me, I was
The existence of Hollow Earth was alluded to several times as part of the theory of how these creatures exist. In fact, the Hollow Earth theory is a real theory. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
With a lowercase t.
In the vein that, astrology is. Right.
They mentioned that Godzilla can, specifically the Godzilla movies that bring it up, is Godzilla goes from point A to point B across the earth because he can go through tunnels. Mm. And actually, the part where Ken Watanabe dies King of the Monsters, they go into one of the tunnels, or isn't it like they're theoretically going into one of the tunnels where Godzilla's dying so they can blow up a new camp.
That's supposed to be his home, right? So yeah.
Which they completely reused in the world's dumbest defibrillator.
Like, yes.
Let's go move our ship on top of him and blow him up. That'll help him.
Yeah. I'm
good.
And then he like, does like a, what's the word? Jean-Claude Van Damme. And trust me, if you listen to the show, you know, I love JCVD. He like slams his shoulder against the skyscraper to like pop his shoulder back into place, but it's King Kong doing it. So it's like even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought the fight was cool. You know, you got Kong trying to get away because obviously nothing tracks, nothing makes sense. So it's like the laser can't really hurt the Hydra, right? And it can't really hurt other Godzilla-esque creatures, but it completely destroys Kong if it touches him. So he's got to really dance away.
He also burned a hole to the center of the earth. And
yes.
Like, all of a sudden, he can just do that.
He was super mad about that.
The hole that was like 10 feet deep.
Yeah.
Because there's that shot where Godzilla's,
they fly right out of
Godzilla's
it.
Is looking down on him, and they're in the center of the earth looking up. Roaring at him, like, what the fuck is this movie?
It reminds me of when you're a kid and you think you can dig a hole all the way to China from America.
Yeah.
But Godzilla can really do that without hurting the earth in any way.
And going back to what you said about the Skarsgård guy being the hollow earth expert, and he's never been down there. He's never attempted to go down there. His brother did, and his brother died, and they make that point. I guess to give him some semblance of credentials.
I didn't finish that, but go
on. Then when they actually go down the earth, the rich, I'm hot and evil, clearly, lady, is like, she's kind of worried about something going on. And the Skarsgård is like, don't worry, it'll be hard when we reach this depth. And it's like, how do you fucking know? He's like acting so like, this is normal. I've been on this trip several times.
Right.
Like, you've never been there.
I think this is the first Skarsgård performance I've ever hated.
Yeah, ever. He's not good in this movie.
And so, okay, let's grant that you're going to bring this guy along because he's like the closest thing to an expert you have because he blogs about it, right? Mm. And okay, no one's ever successfully made this mission. Everyone who has ever tried has died. We're pretty sure we've created a technology based on a place we've never been to that it'll get you there. How would it get us there? You've never been there. How did you build something that would get you somewhere you've never been? Don't worry about it, stupid. All right, that's fine. I'll grant you that. Well, let's bring this like zoologist and little girl with us.
Yeah.
Why? It's definitely not safe. It's going to be fine. Let's bring them. Why would you do that? It makes no sense.
They can talk to the monkey.
At least have the
child services needs to hit up Rebecca Hall for
have
sure.
The courage to write them in as stowaways or something.
Yeah, like they're trying to protect Kong, so they like go on the.
I guess they bring them so they can have her talk to Kong, keep him calm, keep him Kong.
Well, she's supposed to ask them. Yeah. Why do they originally bring her? Because like she can't communicate to him. She's just there to supervise that they won't kill King Kong, essentially. And then just by being on the boat, they realize, oh, girl can talk to Kong. We can use this to our advantage. We didn't know that before we loaded everybody up on the ship.
Also, we super did not need to take this boat the entire time. How does Kong with heights? Why didn't you do that from the beginning?
They skipped that.
Much faster.
They smash cut to Kong passed out again on the net.
Yeah.
But I would like
Kong
to see
out a lot in this movie.
I would like to see the scene because they turned the boat engine off so that Godzilla would leave him alone. Cause Godzilla is apparently a fucking idiot and Kong's a genius, which by the way, they just dance around that.
Yeah.
He can speak sign language, but Godzilla's a fucking idiot. You just turn the lights off. He goes away. Cause like a T-Rex, his vision's based on movement.
There are three or four times this movie where Godzilla could easily kill King Kong. And for reasons, Godzilla's like, you know what? Nah.
I mean,
he just leaves. Like why wouldn't Godzilla kill him?
I got your bitch ass.
We 100% got the answer to the question, who wins? Like Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla won. I wrote that in my notes. Godzilla won, ?
Good.
But here's the thing. So you got to turn the boat engine off so that Godzilla will leave. But then you had 47 helicopters fly around real low and you hooked up this massive netting system somehow and got his big ass on it. How?
Middle of the
ocean. Godzilla didn't hear any of that because helicopters are quiet.
As we all know.
And you proceeded to fly low over the ocean.
To Antarctica.
Which is safe from the 6,000-foot monster? What the fuck? How was that any safer? He could have just stood up and got all the helicopters and chomped them like peanuts.
Yeah, and like I understand a lot of people are like, well, yeah, idiots, you're supposed to turn your brains off and watch this dumb schlocky film and enjoy it for what it is. And it's like, this movie's too dumb. Like,
I can watch Army of Darkness. Right. I'm not. There's no problem with me doing that.
We respect Bruce Campbell in this house.
It's goddamn right. It's not the same thing. Right. You got to stick with the own logic of your own and try a little harder. You get this nebulous MacGuffin. Kong has a literal throne and scepter. LOL is one of my notes. What about the oxygen down there at the center of the earth?
Yeah,
what's up with that? They just breathe. They just be breathing.
Well, what's with the sunlight?
It's always just sunlight slightly off camera. Like
I kind of got the impression it was like its own little dimension. in a weird way. So I granted some of the sunlight.
Because they do kind of go through that membrane of gravity is the only thing I can describe it, where things get trippy for a hot second.
It's almost like a black hole.
The last note I wrote was, ha, 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 I'd like to invite you on my podcast. That was actually funny. I felt so seen and ashamed when the character invites his idol. First thing he can think to say, I'd like to invite you on my podcast. And it's so embarrassing because I do that sometimes.
That's okay.
This movie does something that I was laughing so hard at, but for the wrong reasons. It's the scene at the very end. The climactic fight has happened. Godzilla's going one way. King Kong's going the other way. All the humans congregate to kind of watch these titans leave their destroyed city in awe. And the camera focuses on the three groups of main characters that literally have not spoken to each other once and don't know of each other's existence or roles in the ensuing movie, you know, and they have somehow randomly come together so that the camera can capture all the heroes of the movie together in one shot. And all I could think about the whole time is they don't fucking know each other. They don't know who any of each other are or that they did anything to help. They're just like, oh, random person there. And they came together and it's such a dumb, only in movies would that happen trope.
It is by providence, Steve.
By providence, Kyle Chandler met up with Podcasting Man, who also met up with the Skarsgård and Rebecca Hall. And just, oh my God.
Hey, like, why'd you take my underage daughter to China?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Just come on my podcast.
That never came up. Kyle Chandler never asked, hey, how did you get to Hong Kong?
Kyle Chandler should have beat his ass. This dude abducted his teenage daughter and took her across the world. Like
he's just like, oh, I'm so happy you're safe. He never once said, how the fuck did you get here? You were at home.
He knows his daughter's crafty.
She's precocious. She can get places.
She'd be in China sometimes. That's a good word,
Steve. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the battle? The fight scenes in general? Like, let's break it there. So there are two big fight scenes. There's the fight scene with the boats. And then there's the fight scene in Hong Kong at the end.
I thought they were
the three characters.
I thought Adam Wingard did a great job. I always knew what was going on and where everyone was. I thought the whole flipping the boat over thing, while a little unbelievable as far as the safety of the humans inside the boat, was pretty fun. I felt genuine fear for King Kong. I thought it sucked that it was happening in water.
Yeah,
and that he was like chained and like, this isn't fair. I really identify with that character. I like King Kong. I love King Kong. You could say I care about that man. I care about that being. So the water fight was cool. I was like, this is bullshit that it's in water. It's not fair. Why can Godzilla breathe underwater? There's no gills. Does he predate gills? This is bullshit. He's got that fucking plot armor. He's got plot gills and I don't like it.
He's got a laser beam out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like a whale. He just holds his breath super duper long.
Maybe so. Is that what whales do? Yeah, I guess that's what whales do.
Does that mean Godzilla has a blowhole?
Goddamn right.
Damn right he does. And then as far as the second
fight. That's why his back is always out of the water.
The second fight was good too. I thought Mechagodzilla was awesome. The little spinny hand thing. I thought that was neat.
That was cool.
It doesn't make any sense how he exists, but if you just forget that part.
How he's controlled.
Oh yeah, this amorphous mind connection that we also invented in the meantime.
So we just plug some wires into a piece of bone.
It's just bone.
This is what happened.
So yeah, King Ghidorah from King of the Monsters has three heads, and the three heads communicate telepathically. Uh-huh. So somehow they've gotten their hands on a skull, I assume from Tywin Lannister's character at the end of King of the Monsters, who's not in this randomly.
But telepathic powers in the bone.
Yeah, so they have a skull of Ghidorah, just one of the skulls, and they've got this dude just sitting inside of the skull with a fucking
headset. Did you know that dude is Sarazawa's son?
Is it really?
Apparently.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting. Which I didn't catch from it. I read that in a review of the film and was like, what? So anyway, that's a thing.
That was the one thing I think, the one ridiculous thing that I enjoyed in the movie was just, there's just a guy sitting in a skull with a headset on.
It gave me like so Tron vibes. I really enjoy. There was a lot of like neon. I know you said you didn't like the neon, but there was some like Tron ambiance that I really dug for a lot of the movie.
There's they had to fight in Tokyo, right?
Yeah, and that was 100%. Cool. Hong Kong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But it was really neat that I saw what they were doing with the homage back in Hong Kong. There's all these little shots of the citizens running with the feet stomping. There was some good homage to the 1933 version. But I just really felt like it wasn't enough.
It presents itself as a prestige film and gives you the plot of...
It's got that Criterion Collection banner watermark at the top right.
Like B-grade horror movie or monster movie schlock. But it tries to run this fine line between them where it has like this phenomenal cast and just gives them these dumb fucking lines and a plot that makes no sense. And it can't commit to being either thing. It can't commit to being just a dumb monster movie that you can easily, willingly suspend your disbelief and just enjoy it. And you also can't go at it analytically and enjoy it as a achievement in filmmaking. And so it's in this dumb fucking limbo of like not being good at anything, kind of like the cast.
Yeah, I watched this movie in two sittings, which for a movie like this shouldn't be a thing. Like I finished the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, it's an hour
I would like
20,
to see the Snyder Cut of Godzilla versus Kong, actually. I would think that would be interesting.
What was it?
I'd like to see the Snyder Cut of this movie.
Release the...
Wingard cut.
Yeah.
Wingardium Leviosa.
From now until the end of time, when a movie is poorly received, the director is going to be like, nah, I swear to God, I did better than this.
It was so dope. You should have seen it. Oh my God.
David Ayer is leaning into that.
the final battle at Hong Kong. I think that's the scene that most people are kind of gravitating towards. Like, oh, this movie's awesome. Look at this fight choreography. And I didn't feel it. They're smashing through all these buildings. Like some buildings have a nice sturdy girth to them, so they like King Kong can bounce off of them and jump on them and stuff. And other times Godzilla just plowing through them like they're, you know, fake drywall, you know?
Yeah.
And
or real drywall is pretty crumbly too.
Oh, that's true. That too. And then, so Hong Kong has all the neon lights, which I would be fine with a neon if it was just the Hong Kong set piece, but literally every fucking location in this movie has neon lights everywhere. And that makes it even less believable. But, if you watch the Hong Kong fight, like buildings are falling, but there's no like dust that comes out of them, like very minimal dust. So like you still see the neon lights, but then it just doesn't feel atmospheric in that way. It looks like I'm watching a CG video game cutscene the whole time.
What did you think of Mechagodzilla?
I hated it. I don't hate Mechagodzilla as a concept because I understand that's, you know, that's Mechagodzilla. That's a right. thing. I thought it looked dumb. It had like really long, scrawny arms and I don't know. There's something about it that, like, I was like, really? That's what you guys went with? That looks like something in some that looks like a very impressive college piece that someone would craft. You know, I don't feel like that's a big budget movie Mechazilla looking thing.
I actually kind of dug the design. It looked like what you would actually end up getting as opposed to like the concept art. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I liked Mechagodzilla, but I was getting the vibe from Steve. I want to hear his thoughts. Like,
I just think it looked way too Power Rangers villain.
I was going to say, what you're talking about, it makes me think of the Zords.
Yeah, it really did look like a really bad Zord, but in like bad CGI. And then like,
who's your favorite Power Ranger?
Oh man.
Tommy, the White Ranger.
Dude, I don't know if I have a favorite. Probably Kimberly.
Kimberly, Pink Ranger.
Because she's my girl. But
my favorite was always Zach.
The blue one?
Zach was black one, right?
I don't know.
Oh, the black elephant?
Ranger. Yeah, that was
the black Ranger. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but like, and then this movie, like a billion people probably died in this movie, right? Literally billions of people probably died.
Yes. Every time one of these movies comes out,
it's surviving billions. From the even higher body count of King of the Monsters.
Yes.
But like, this movie makes no effort, I feel like, to really kind of focus on people are dying. And that's why I can't really root for King Kong or Godzilla, because they're killing tons of people. Like, and they're not even, there's even several.
It's not Kong's fault. He wants to be left the fuck alone, to be fair.
Yeah, but Kong's also going out of his way to kill people too. Like there's one scene in particular where Kong's on one of the boats trying to escape Godzilla, and this aircraft pilot's like, oh shit, I'm going to take off and get away from this. And the airplane pilots are on his side. in that situation. So the airplane pilot takes off to try to get away from these monsters, and King Kong fucking grabs the plane. It's like, yeah, but, no, motherfucker, and almost kills him.
Yeah, but fuck that guy. Right.
Nice. Well, I mean, he ejects and then Kong throws the thing. And
like, yeah, he throws an airplane like a ninja star.
Kong doesn't know they're on his side. He's scared. Scared little monkey.
They shot King. King Kong should have died a billion times. There were several times where the human saved King Kong from Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. It was constantly like giving him all the handicap in the world, and he still loses. And so it's like, it's not just that Godzilla wins, like he super wins.
And then Mecha Godzilla is beating the shit out of regular Godzilla until King Kong's axe has radiation on it. And all of a sudden now it's a super axe. Okay.
Was that supposed to be a Godzilla scale? Like, that's what I think it was supposed to have been. Like, that at some point in the Kong Godzilla fighting of old.
Oh, like
at some point he got
a haft of an axe with a Godzilla scale on it.
Yes.
I don't know. I never thought of it that way. That's kind of neat.
I didn't pick up on it if it was.
I still don't understand anything about the mythos of this world and how they all come from Hollow Earth, but who does? Godzilla and King Kong. But when you get down there, there's all this like Kong iconography and Kong statues. And I'm like, okay, so this was where Kong comes from.
Who built this?
I don't understand. Right. And so Skull Island, they alluded to that being like the pimple on the skin of the Hollow Earth. And so that's like a continuation of Hollow Earth on the surface. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when Kong goes down into Hollow Earth and he finds his axe, he's in a building that has columns and stuff. And I was like, who made this? Did the Kongs make that?
I think they would have been better served by just asking you to grant that these things exist.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla comes up from the ocean. The ocean's already vast enough. We don't know what the fuck's down there. Did you guys know, fun fact, about 90% of the ocean is unexplored to this day? Okay, there's a Godzilla down there. There might be...
He swims through tunnels down there, through the earth.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Cool. Yeah. Done.
That's all you need
King
to say.
Kong Island we've never been to because of storm. He just hangs out there. All right, cool,
neat,
done. You don't have to go. I don't need to go down there.
You don't need to overexpose it.
No, we don't need statues. We don't need an actual literal throne for King Kong to sit upon. That's ridiculous.
I also love
he's a monkey in a chair.
So hey, monkey, stand up, monkey,
get out of chair.
I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on the Apex B plot in general, because I thought it was really funny because the movie opens up with Godzilla just wrecking shit at an Apex facility. And it's really funny because, like, we haven't seen Godzilla in 3 years, but he showed up and now he's evil because he destroyed not this city, just the Apex facility that's at the city. He's clearly turned evil. And it's like, I don't know, maybe the giant lizards whose whole thing is killing Apex predators is going after the company called Apex.
Right.
Deep who cut. Apparently have enough technology to go into the earth and make cloud cars, and surely they're not doing something scary. That guy that they hired from whatever telenovela special that's playing on TV, like, what was that actor? Like, what was he doing? The
CEO?
Yeah, he's like
Damien. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's a well-regarded actor.
It's is just, he?
Yeah.
I've never seen him before. And I thought, like, what soap opera did they pull this guy off?
Telenovela. You were going hammer time on that.
Because that's the vibe that he's given off. It's like at any moment he could look at the hard camera and go like, I am your brother.
So they already lost me with Kong when they're like, okay, now he's in captivity. I don't know when you got there. But then they cut to the Godzilla scene with Apex. And I wrote the note, why are they shooting at Godzilla? Because that, as soon as they see him, the Apex employees are firing their guns at him. A, we found out umpteen times that your guns will do nothing. And B, he's always been on your side. What are you doing right now? And so I was with you. I'm like, this whole plot, it's ridiculous.
The movie asks you to take huge leaps in logic in terms of the world that it's already built right off the bat.
His name's Demian Bashir. I'm probably butchering that as I always do. He's in The Hateful Eight. He's in the Machete movies.
Yeah, he was in Hateful Eight.
Yeah, he's in... Chaos Walking, which is also out right now. Midnight Sky.
In Hateful Eight, he was like he was one of the surprise, I'm actually a bad guy guys, but he was like the stable guy that was.
Oh, okay.
He's in Alien Covenant.
Remember when they're like,
he cleans up nice.
It's super racist.
Yeah.
And they're like, they would never allow a Mexican here. You know what I mean?
Man, he cleans up nice. I didn't recognize him in a suit. He looked good in that suit.
He's in the movie Savages, which is a movie I actually love, with also with Aaron Taylor Johnson. I don't know if you ever saw that. He's from fucking Weeds. That's where I recognize him from.
Oh, yeah.
Like season four when she gets the gangster husband. It's him. Okay. Anyway, you never watched Weeds?
I didn't get to season four. I watched the first two seasons.
That's good. It's better when you smoke weed.
But again, another very good actor who was given a piss poor job to do.
And a lot of times with movies like this, you can just say, oh, well, they're really chewing scenery, or they're having a good time, or they know what kind of movie they're in.
They don't look like they're having fun.
Nobody's Nicolas Cage in it. It's just a bunch of people trying really hard to
lift this up. Skarsgård.
Yeah, poor guy.
Skarsgård and Rebecca Hall are trying their hardest. And I think Rebecca Hall succeeds more than fails.
Yes, I agree.
I think she's probably the best acting in this movie other than the little girl.
She's effective.
Those two are the best actors. They're by far. They're pulling their weight class. Everyone else, especially the Skarsgård guy, is just like, well, come on, dude.
We have to agree the worst was the I'm a bad girl guy.
Yeah.
They get to Hollywood. My daddy gets what he wants. And like that, that was her line.
You're right.
To be Why like, did you make her Eric Cartman?
He's terrible at acting.
My daddy gets what he wants.
That's what she says. She says, my daddy gets what he wants, or something like that. Like if that's not exactly the line, that is damn close. And that's her reveal. My daddy gets what he wants.
And we knew. She was bad.
Oh, the moment she said, like, feel free to be impressed, I was like, oh, she gonna get smashed by one of the giant monsters.
For sure. King Kong squished her.
Her death was dope, though, dude. When he grabs the ship out of the sky and he, like, holds it up to his eye, he's peering at it. Not nobody I care about.
You know, he was looking to see if maybe they were going to sign at him to communicate that they were friendly.
Is it a little girl in this? Nah, fuck
you. Y'all don't know ASL, huh? All right.
That was such a dumb... I thought the death was dumb because she's like, get him out of the way, shoot him! And I'm like, really?
Yeah, so...
That's your idea? Just, attention to yourself?
Gone around him.
Swerve around him.
And then go up the giant hole that's above you.
Not piss him off and then go real slow.
Shoot him with the guns that have no effect on him. Oh no, he's pissed.
Oh no. All right. Do we want to
tear into this movie anymore?
Do we want to beat it up anymore? You want to call it?
I mean, if these are your kaiju movies, if you love kaiju movies, if you just want to see giant monsters fight, you might like
this. There's about 20 minutes of this movie that you'll like.
Yeah, this movie would be great if it was a 20-minute long YouTube video that you watched then, or if they made it a Universal Studios ride a la Star Tours, and because that's basically what a third of the movie is a Star Tours show. But I mean, we don't like it. I don't like it certainly, but you might if you like that type of shit.
Mm-hmm. And not that there's anything wrong with that. The Seinfeld.
No.
I keep going back to that. It's such the best thing to say in any uncomfortable situation. Not there's anything wrong with that.
A buddy of mine loves kaiju films, and he actually. His family rented a theater, local theater, like it just for his family so they could go and watch it COVID safe on a big screen because they had to see, you know, and I completely understand.
It might be amazing when Dolby.
You're into kaiju fights, watch that on a big screen. Why would you watch it at home if that's a big fandom for you? And he loved it and he was really excited. Like he texted me this morning. He's like, yeah, man, how'd you see it? I'm like, I think I'm so sorry, man. I did not like this movie. Which actually, when I asked him how he liked it, he was like, well, you know, for the type of movie it is, it's pretty good. Which, if you know him, that's a good sign of like, it's probably not a good movie.
Right.
If even he's like, yeah, for the type of movie, it's pretty good.
Yeah, he should have been blown away.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that about wraps up our coverage of Godzilla versus Kong. We forgot to do one very important thing, which was decide what we're going to be talking about next week.
It's a mailbag episode.
That's right.
Next week is the listener mailbag episode.
Next week.
This listener, you got one more week. Well, technically not even a week. You have until You have until Friday because we record on Fridays.
Nope.
You have until Friday. Chris, are you pulling up that exact date?
Yeah, it's April 9th.
Yeah,
is the Friday.
So April 9th to write in at streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
When the clock strikes midnight on the 8th of April, year of our Lord 2021, you will be ass out.
And your car will turn into a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So that episode will drop on April 12th. And then April 19th, we're going to be talking about Mortal Kombat, right? HBO Max on April 16th, I believe.
Did they push it back?
They fucking push it back, Steve? You'd look me in the eye and you'd tell me
they
now.
They did push it back.
They pushed it back a week.
Oh, my God.
podcast.
Quit playing with my emotions.
HBO Max is, I think they got a vendetta against us.
They're really grinding my gears.
They pushed Mortal Kombat back a week. So next week is the mailbag episode.
For sure.
And then we'll figure out what we want to do after that.
On April 12th, and we'll talk about everything else after that. Don't forget the contest. So we're going to be, by the time you hear this, we'll have some things on my Twitter, Steve's Twitter, Andy's Twitter. That's at @CMichaelWrites, at Andy Most Days, at SteveMay13. One or all of those, follow them. You'll see a streaming things related tweet, and you can share that on your own social media account with hashtag streaming things. Screenshot that, send it to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. And you were entered to win a $50 Amazon gift card, which we will announce that winner on.
Look at your show notes in the episode. We will have directions spelled out for you.
Yeah, easy peasy.
As well as the Buzzsprout link.
Easy peasy. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And this has been Steve. Streaming Things. I almost cut Steve off. That was terrible.
Streaming Things, let them fight.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.